Good morning. Can you hear me? Oh. Good morning, beloved. May grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Allow me this morning to thank the elders of the church to give me such a... I have a heavy task this morning. Amen. And I'm well aware of this task this morning and that I'm standing here to speak the word of the Lord. So allow me this morning just to pray and then we will continue. Let's close our eyes. Oh Lord, long ago, at many times, in many ways, you spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, you are speaking to us by your Son, whom you have appointed the heir of all things, through whom also you created the world. Father, our prayer this morning is that you will speak to us this morning. That you will open up our hearts to your word this morning. That when you speak, that we will be bent to obedience, Father. That you will break our hearts this morning. That you will open us up this morning. That you will reach deep in us. That the light of your word will reveal those hidden things in our lives, O God. So we ask for your grace, we ask for your mercy. We ask that you will give us, Father, an obedient spirit to your word. Cover us with humility this morning as we listen to your word. Pray that you will speak even to me this morning as I'm speaking to your people. That as my tongue moves, that you will speak this morning. That even by the reading of your word, O God, that you will speak. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. As I've said, it's a great privilege for me to stand here this morning. And I'm well aware that as I'm standing here this morning, standing in front of you this morning, I'm firstly standing before Holy God this morning. So, we will get our scripture reading in Revelation 2 and let's read together in the word of the Lord. Revelation 2, I'm going to read from verse 1 this morning to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks amongst the 7 golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you endured patiently in bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place until you repent. Yet this I have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The Lord bless his word. Amen. The title of my message this morning is A Letter to the Reformed Church Today. The main thing of all churches, or that all churches claim, is that they have a love for Christ. They have a deep love for Christ. I think that's the main thing. I think that is a thing that constitutes a church. I think we've gathered here this morning because we love Him. Maybe some came for Bible study, or others came because there's some friends of the family is here. But the main thing should be because we love Christ. And the main thing that constitutes the church, and I would say, I would even go so far as to say that if the love of Christ is not within a church, if the love of Christ is absent from a church, we could deem that church as being an illegitimate church or a false church. For the love of Christ to be present, I think the Ephesians, they were not Jews or Hebrews. They were, before they came to the faith in Christ, they were regarded as pagans, as unbelievers. So the first thing that made them to be a church was the love that they had for Christ. Nothing else. They didn't come to church programs. They didn't come to sit in synagogues. The first thing that gave them the qualification to be a church was their love for Christ. So this morning I want you to consider firstly that if we come for other things, we might, if we are sitting here this morning and we have been drawn here by other things, we might be guilty as this church was guilty. Maybe you don't know the Lord, but coming to this building doesn't make you part of the church. Maybe you have made a confession of faith one day, and maybe you still, and maybe you're part of Goodwood Baptist Church. Maybe you are enrolled in the membership. But are you in love with Christ? Do you share the love that true saints share for Christ? If the church would grow cold in the love for Christ, we are in deep trouble. It's dangerous for us to grow cold in our love for Christ, as it was for this church. If you look into the history of this church, if you go back to this church today, this church has completely extinct. There's no church there. And the word that Christ spoke to this church was fulfilled. Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 37, "Whosoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whosoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whosoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." And in this passage, Jesus is telling his disciples that you must love me to the point of death. Just because your family is in the church, because your family is regarded as children of God, and they're sitting with you in the church, and maybe some of your family is on the eldership, you can't make decisions based on what your family says. You must love Christ more than you love family. You must love Christ more than you love your daughter, more than you love your own wife, more than you love this building, more than you love Goodwood Baptist Church, more than you love the setup here in the church. You must love Christ above all of these things. And Jesus tells him, listen, you must take up a cross. You must love Christ to the point of death. John 14 verse 21 says, Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is it who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I love him and manifest myself to him. John 14 verse 23, Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If we love Christ, the Father will love us. It is out of the love, it's out of the love that we have for Christ that the Father joins with the Son, and he is present here this morning. There's no other reason why God is here this morning. is because people gathered here this morning who loves His Son. And the Bible says that and we will come to Him and make our home with Him when we love Christ. Whatever we're building, whatever we're doing, we need to consider Christ. Sometimes I've been asked to dedicate a home to the Lord. My friend, he asked me to come. Actually, he's a family member, and I went to pray there and sharing the gospel with him, and trying to make him see that it doesn't matter if I pray here. I can pray here. I can ask for the Lord's blessing. But if you don't consider Christ, God will not make His home here. And whenever God will visit this home, it will be with judgment if you don't repent. And after I committed the house to the Lord and prayed for Him, shared the gospel with Him, a few months after that, He opened up a Sabine. So, this is not a magic spell. We pray and God, if you love His Son. Sometimes we pray, but we try to pray the biblical things. We try to pray the scriptures. But do we pray to Christ? Do we ask Him to consider us? Do we ask for His grace? Do we love Him? Matthew 22, verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. The first commandment is the hinge on which all the commandments hangs. All of Christendom would fall to the ground if a love for Christ do not exist. If our Bible study, our evangelism, our programs, even our prayers, if it is not centered around Christ, driven by a love relationship with Christ, we have totally missed the mark. We are simply playing church. If a love for Christ does not exist. Let us consider the text before us. The recipient of this letter is the Ephesian church. The letter is addressed to the angel of the church, the leader or the leading elder of the church, for the attention of the whole church. Now, this church was planted by Paul during a short visit, nurtured by Paul's co-workers, Priscilla and Aquila. Later by a vibrant, eloquent expositor, Apollos. Paul returned to the church to minister there for 3 years. It is to this church that Paul addresses the letter to the Ephesians while he was in prison. And now, almost after 40 years, another letter arrives. And this time, this letter comes from the Lord Himself. All of the churches in Asia was basically comes from the ministry of this one church. This church was a vibrant church. Now Christ is writing to them. We can establish this from chapter 1, who the writer is. And that John is actually only, he's just holding the pen, putting the pen to paper. But Christ is dictating every word. In Revelation 1:12, we can read that. I turned, this is John speaking. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw 7 golden lampstands. Verse 13. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, and with a golden sash around his chest. And then he goes on describing who is speaking to him In verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at my feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now Christ is writing to this church. He's trying to reach this church. I want us to know that Christ, the apostle writes, he says, he saw him dwelling amongst the lampstands. Now Christ as he's dwelling among the churches, he is busy examining the churches. He's busy looking, he's assessing, he is evaluating these churches, the seven churches. Then he puts down what he observed. He writes a message to every church based upon what he sees in the church. We need to just also note that Christ is not just looking at what they are doing. He's also looking at the motive of their hearts. He looks at the attitude of the heart. I want us firstly now to consider the observation and his commendations. This is the observation that Christ has of this church. Firstly, he tells them, I know your works. And I think some of us, when I go through this, that we will actually think to ourselves that, wow, I would like to be part of this church. Because this church, Christ is telling them, listen, I know your works. You work to the point of sweat and exhaustion. You work to the point of weariness. They did not give their eyes rest. This church were busy, in season, out of season. They were busy with the work of the Lord. He says, I know your perseverance. I know your patience. I know that although you're going through tough times and hardships and suffering, you remain persistent. This is the type of church. They're going through tough times, but they are still persistent in the work of the Lord. Thirdly, he says to them, you cannot stand evil men. How you cannot bear with those who are evil. They were intolerant of sin. They had a holy standard. They had not lost their sensitivity for sin. They gave the devil no place. Paul writes to them, even in Ephesians 4, verse 27, he says, you must give the devil no place. They remember this. They remember that Paul, 40 years ago, wrote to them, telling them, listen, you give Satan no place. This church were, they were practicing church discipline. They didn't allow people to sin and get away. They had a holy standard. They test. They know how to put people to the test. They knew how to put people that claims to be teachers and prophets. They knew how to put these people to test. It says, but you have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. They were characterized by spiritual discernment. They held to solid doctrines. They knew how to evaluate a teacher and how to put him to test. In verse 6, yet this do you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. They hated the things that Christ hated. The things that broke the heart of Christ broke their hearts. They hated the things that they shared this hatred for sin, for false prophets that Christ had. In verse 3, and you have persevered and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Not did they just work hard, persevered, held on to sound doctrine. They also did it for the right reason. They did it for his name's sake. Now isn't this the perfect church? They did everything for the glory of God. Christ admits that you are doing this for my name's sake. You are working hard. You are planting seeds. You are watering the seed. And when it comes to harvest time, you are there to harvest. You are working hard. You are toiling to the point of weariness. But you have stayed persistent in the work of the Lord. And you are doing it for my name's sake. This is sounding more like a Solar 5 church. This sounds like a true reformed church. It sounds like, and this church, we need to take note that this is not a reformed church. This is one of the first churches birthed out of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. They didn't come back and to reform and to turn back to they started holding on to sola scriptura. Holding on to Christ alone. The perfect church. In verse 4. This is not a commendation. But a great concern. But I have this against you. That you have left your first love. The labor of the passion and the fervor was becoming the cult orthodox function. Could it be that they became too busy with the things of God, that they got too busy for God? Could it be that they started to say all the right things, but with no real passion and love for Him? Was it communion with Him, or was it just a Bible study? You see, sometimes, and this is the test and the temptation of many preachers and pastors. When you take your Bible and you start reading the Word of God, many times you catch yourself reading the Bible with a sermon in mind. Thinking, how can I get a sermon out of what I'm reading now? We shouldn't just read the Bible for another sermon. We should read the Bible so that we can get to know Him more. So our prayers and our Bible studies, is it filled with Christ? Is it centered around Christ? I think the Ephesian church, while they were busy working and doing the work of the Lord, they started to put their attention on programs and not on Christ. We need to start on time. We need to hold on to sola scriptura. When I listen to you, brother, you're not preaching the Word of God. And they were listening with no grace. Maybe when they spoke to sinners, they only preached the Word of the Lord just to tick a box. They evangelized because they fell in love with evangelism and not with the evangelist, the great evangelist who is Jesus Christ. Let me tell you that first commandment, that you should love the Lord with your whole heart, it makes no room for other things. It's a wholehearted thing. You need to love Him with your whole heart. It is the hinge on which everything hangs. If we don't love Christ with our whole hearts, whatever we do afterwards will be birthed out of something else that is not of God. We will be running programs. You will be evangelizing. You will be wasting your time. You will grow a big head because you're studying the scriptures not out of a love for Christ. That first commandment is the seed that everything that flows should flow from that first commandment. That you should love the Lord with your whole mind. With all your strength. Whatever you do with your strength. Whatever you do with your tongue. Whatever you do with your mind. When you read the Bible. When you evangelize. It should come. It should be birthed out of a relationship. A love relationship that we have with Christ. And nothing else. Whatever programs we have, whenever we attend church, we should attend church because we love Christ. And not because your mom told you so. And not because It's part of what I do on a Sunday. I'm filling the time slot. This is the time when I should go to church. It should come out of a genuine love for Christ. Paul had taught this church to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4 verse 15. Now it seemed that this church, they held on to the truth. But they have lost their first love. They abandoned their first love. They were supposed to speak out of love. And love is the qualification for whenever we speak. Whenever we preach, whenever we minister, whenever we evangelize. Love is the qualification. It must be out of love. And this church was still speaking. They were still holding on to godly truths, to biblical truths. But they lost their grip on love. We need to get a firm grip on both. We need to champion both. We need to champion in love and in truth. We can't just build on truth and neglect love. Because the whole church is centered around the love of Christ. And let me tell you this morning that if you love Christ, it's only when you love Christ that you will be able to love your brother and your sister. It is out of, let me tell you that, the fruit of the love that you have for God is the love that we have for one another. It's because we love God. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. When you love one another. And we are His disciples, and because we are His disciples, that's why we love. That's why we should do whatever we do. We should not hold on to truths and neglect to speak the truth in love. Listen, Paul writes to them in Ephesians 1 verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. If we claim that we have placed our faith in Christ, that faith that we place in Christ, that faith that we have received from God, does not come without the love that we have for one another. Listen, he's saying, you've heard about the faith that you have in Christ and your love towards the brother. It goes hand in hand. We can claim to love the Lord, but the evidence of that love is the love that we have for one another. It doesn't go apart. It cannot be separated. I don't know. Maybe I've heard people talking like this. Maybe someone comes up to you and tells you, listen, so and so gave their hearts to the Lord. They repented of their sins. They've turned to the Lord. They've placed their faith in Christ. And many times, the next question would be, now where are they fellowshipping now? Which church are they attending now? Why do we ask that question? Almost immediately. Because we know that when people come to the Lord, they join themselves with the saints. They join themselves with the church. Because a love for Christ, that love for Christ draws us closer to one another. That's why we can talk to a stranger on the plane. That's why we can speak to a person that you've never seen him. But as soon as you hear that he loves the Lord, it's almost like you've known each other for years. Because of the love that we have for Christ. Now could it be that this church held on to the truth and forsaken the love that they first have for Christ? Hallelujah. When these believers came to the faith in Christ, it resulted into a love for the saints. This is true religion. True religion brings people together. Christianity is the one religion based on love. Known by love. Known by grace and by mercy. It is Christ who gave His life for us out of love. That's why we live a sacrificial life towards one another. That's why we are able. That's why by dying for us on the cross, He enabled us now to die for Him. To die for one another. To lay down our lives for one another. It is the love of Christ that enables us. The Lord speaks to them in verse 5, Revelation 2 verse 5. He says, listen, remember therefore where you have fallen, and repent and do the works you did at first. He asks us to remember. You must remember the day when you first trusted in the Lord. How you couldn't wait to tell the world that you have placed your trust in Christ. How you gave up whatever stood between you and Christ. How you gave all these things up. How you even left that job that kept you from going to church. You left that job and you said, listen, Lord, I'm going to trust in you because this job is keeping me away from you. You used to love the fellowship with the saints. You used to attend the evening services. But now we hardly see you in the morning. You ran to the prayer meetings. You finished your shift. And you didn't even get time to get dressed for the service. You went straight to the Bible study, to the prayer meetings. Remember those times. Remember the first time when you came to Christ. You were so on fire for Him. You decided to leave that girlfriend because he stood in the way of you and Christ. I'm mentioning that because I did it. And I didn't understand, but I just knew that I love the Lord now. And she doesn't, and she didn't understand. She told me, listen, but I will still have you with your Christianity. But I said, no, I don't understand what I'm doing now. But the Spirit of the Lord is just convincing me that I should get out of this relationship because I love Him now. And I cried and she cried. But I knew. There was a greater joy in my heart. There was a greater love for someone else, for Christ. Do you still love Him that way? You need to remember those days. Secondly, you need to repent. To lose your first love is a sin. The decrease in your passion for Christ is a sin. The decrease in your love for the brethren is a sin. You are holding on to the past mistakes. You cannot forgive. You cannot repent. But you need to repent. You need to turn back. Thirdly, you need to resume. You need to restart. You need to start again. You need to start again doing the things that you used to do. Don't wait for tomorrow. Start today. You need to repent today. If this is you, you need to start again today. You need to stop forsaking the gathering of the saints. You need to come to the prayer meeting and you need to pray. You need to love again. You need to love hard again. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Unless you repent. The expression in this, the expression is equivalent to saying that this church would cease to exist. The proper idea of the passage is that the church would be wholly extinct. Christ will come and take away the one thing that gave light to Ephesus, leaving it in utter darkness. You know, if you don't repent, if you don't start doing the first things, if you don't repent and love the Lord like you did on that first day, there will be no light. This church should be the light. What, wherever the church is, wherever the Lord has planted you, you are the light of wherever you go. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. But Christ, He says He will remove the lampstand from its place. In Belleville South, we are basically the only Reformed witness in Belleville South. I visited almost all the churches in Belleville South. And wherever I go, in most of the churches, the services is built around one man sitting on his throne, drinking tea or coffee while the rest of the people are worshiping. And I'm telling you, there's no witness for Jesus Christ. There's no love for Christ. They hold on to what the so-called man of God is saying. There's no love for the Word of God. There's no love for Christ. And there's no light in that church. They never open the Bible. They come with philosophies. They speak things that they dreamed up in the evening. And then they say, "Thus says the Lord." But I know in this church, it's not so. In this church, whenever, while I was speaking here, you are carefully testing what I'm saying. Your ears has been programmed to listen to the voice of God, for biblical truths. And you're holding on to the Word of God. You're holding on to the doctrines of grace. You're holding on to the Bible with your very life. But could it be that you have lost maybe a slight grip on your love for Christ, on your love for one another? Could it be? Could it be that you are sitting in a Reformed church just because your parents were Reformed? Could it be that you are here this morning because it's a nice, the atmosphere is a soft and calm atmosphere? You should be here because you love Jesus Christ. There shouldn't be any other reason. You shouldn't come here because of friends. You should be here because of Christ. You should love the fellow saints because you love Christ. You know, in many churches, and I'm again, I need to say not here, maybe not here, but in many churches that I've visited and I've been part of many other of such churches, that they only love Christ for what they can get out of Him. How is your prayer life? Is it only is it only filled with requests? Do you ever sit down and tell the Lord how much you love Him and how wonderful He has been to you? How you admire the way He speaks to you? How much you love Him. Sometimes we stay at the feet of the Lord just for the crumbs. Just for what we can get from Him. Sometimes we rush to the prayer closet just to make another request and ask, "Lord, please, in the morning time, Lord, please, carry me through this day. Help me, I must do this and I must do that. Go ahead of me and do this and that." We should love Him. We should love Him. We shouldn't just love the work of the Lord. We should love the Lord. I'm asking you this morning, you need to ask yourself, have I fallen in love with worship or with the Lord that I'm supposed to worship? She loves me. There is a warning in the text that the Lord would come and remove this church. He will take the lampstand from its place. It is very important for the future of this church that we remain and stay in love with Christ. For the future of this church. Otherwise, if we refuse to repent, if we refuse, or if we don't love Christ as we ought to, every believer in this church who truly loves the Lord will leave this church. If this church would become ungodly and cold in the love for Christ, the elders who truly loves the Lord will start to pick up and leave. And we see that if we look at the Dutch Reformed Church, it's happening over there. They've grown cold a long time. But there are members sitting there and they love the Lord Jesus. And I praise the Lord for what happened. Might sound a little bit strange. But they've been sitting there trusting the Lord that the Lord would show them mercy. Praying for their leadership. But now the Lord has come. And He's taking their status as a church away. You're no longer a church. I'm taking my people, I'm taking my sheep, and I'm sending them to another church where they can love me. I'm taking the people that loves me, I'm taking them away. We need to repent. And we need to turn to Christ. Verse 7 says, and I'm ending off, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It is a form of expression designed to arrest the attention of those who hears or who reads this letter. This morning the Lord wants to call you to attention. Maybe you're sitting in this church, listening every Sunday, and listening to the Word of the Lord, enjoying the Word of the Lord. But this morning, the Lord is calling you to attention. He wants you to stop with what you're busy with. He wants you to stop just attending programs and to love Him again. And then He ends off with the promise. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the presence of God. He doesn't leave you alone. He doesn't say, listen, I will remove you. He doesn't just say, I will destroy you. He doesn't just say, I will judge you for this. But He's making room. He's telling you, listen, if you repent, if you overcome this coldness, if you overcome this, the fact that you have grown, your love for me, that you have abandoned your first love, if you overcome this barrier, I will take you to paradise with me. If you overcome, you are a true saint of Christ. You need to overcome. He didn't leave you on your own to overcome this. The very fact that I'm preaching, the very fact that I've read this message to you, it's Him telling you, listen, I am here to help you. I've not left you alone. I know you're struggling in your love for me. But I'm speaking to you. I am able to keep you and to sustain you. But you need to turn back. Do the things. You know, you will maybe lose your salvation, but you will lose your prize. I'm begging of you this morning to consider this text and to repent. And to love one another. To love your brothers. To love Christ. Like you loved Him at first. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray quickly. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word is truth. Thank You that Your Word is like a hammer that destroys a rock. Thank You for calling us back this morning to You, Father. Thank You for calling us back to love You like we did the first time when we placed our trust in You. Father, I pray that You will grant us mercy this morning. If there's anyone who does not know You this morning, I pray, Father, that You will draw them to Your Son, Jesus Christ. Even as we're sitting here as believers, draw us closer to You this morning, Father. Draw us into a deeper love relationship with You. And help us to listen and to hear what Your Spirit have said to the church. In Jesus' name, amen.